There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Commies. Commies.
Yeah, that may make it into the new show intro. All right, it's Midday Mobile, hour number two of live local talk. Phone number, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106, and the password is...
Commies.
It's a little bit of... if you missed last hour and you don't know why, I continue to...
Commies.
You can go check out the podcast. It'll post up sometime this hour over at fmtalk1065.com. All right. I mentioned as we went into the news break, returning to the studio, we get to see this man twice in like 3 weeks. This is good. Dr. Stephen McNair is joining us to talk about a handful of items. We're gonna mix some train talk with some Mardi Gras talk.
That's right. Hey, Sean. Good to see you.
Good to get you back here. So we had talked, last time we talked was right before the Mobile City Council's vote on the $3 million over 3 years for Amtrak.
That's right. Yeah, we had a conversation last Monday. The vote was Tuesday morning.
So, and of course, I had watched you speak to the council on the new the newly improved Mobile City Council feed. You made a great case.
Well, I appreciate that. And we could not be, we being the Southern Rail Commission, could not be happier with the result of that vote, and also with the result of the Stimson administration supporting this. You know, they went on record saying that they believe that it can be successful, not only for Mobile, but also for the entire Gulf Coast. And with the 6-1 vote from the Mobile City Council, we find that to be an overwhelming statement that, that they believe that this can work and that they want to get behind it, and they believe that the $3 million will be well spent.
Well, when I heard, you know, the Sims administration comes in and offers their support. At the same time, I was reading through that and then listening to Councilman Fred Richardson say he was supporting. I said, well, when you have both Mayor Stimson and Councilman Fred Richardson both supporting, I said, well, this is going to be a yes vote.
It's a great day for Mobile when we see that, which is...
Y'all were the group that you brought those two together. That is amazing. It's not, make a note of that, y'all. It doesn't happen all the time. So how does this work going forward? Because something you had talked about it with us before is kind of timelines on this and the purpose of that money and the other things that have to happen.
So moving forward, the infrastructure money that is required and also the money for the station is to be determined, but at least the operating expenses for the first 3 years of the train are now covered, and that includes operating for Alabama, Louisiana, and Mississippi.
Okay.
And the infrastructure and station money for Mississippi and Louisiana is already set. So really, at this point, what we're waiting on is a study to come back that is in conjunction with Norfolk Southern, Amtrak, and CSX. And what they're doing is they're taking a deep dive look into the line all the way from New Orleans to downtown Mobile to reaffirm the previous study that was completed by the Federal Railroad Administration to say, look, these projects that were previously identified still need to be worked on. This amount of money is still relevant. And so that study will come back in about 6 months or so. And that will really give us the final numbers we need.
Okay, so I'll get off the fact that I feel like we study things to death. You have a study, then you have another study to reaffirm the first study.
And that's true, but in this case, I mean, we're talking about safety, really.
Okay.
We're talking about efficiency, on-time performance, not only for passenger rail, but also for the freight trains and safety. With all the crossings along the way and all the new sidetracks needed, we really just need to make sure that this is as fast as possible and as safe as possible at the same time. That way, passengers get where they need to go on time and the freight trains are not delayed.
All right, we're going to talk about the cake before we ice it, because I know on infrastructure we talk about train station and where it would be and all that. But I'm going to get to that in a second. Let's talk about the nitty-gritty. You mentioned it. The crossings, the sidetracks and all that. So what has to be done? Is there improvement to the rails that sit there as they are, or is it the addition of the sidetracks, or What?
Well, it's really both. So technically, the Amtrak train could run today. It would be slow. It might get in the way. But the tracks are fine. I mean, as we discussed last time, after Hurricane Katrina, we had all the upgrades to the tracks. And so freight trains run on these same tracks all day, every day.
So it's not like this idea, because, I mean, people hear this, that they're faulty, rickety. We had some guy call and say they were coming up. But these tracks are, this is what the freight trains run on.
All the time. So what we're talking about is simply adding more improvements. And some of it has to do with road crossings. But also we're talking about switching. And so in the state of Alabama, the three items that were identified for infrastructure improvements to make sure that everybody can coexist here is there's two switches right now that are manual that will be changed to a form of a digital switching. One of them is in Theodore, and the other one is at Choctaw Point, which is very close to McDuffie Coal, mm-hmm. where you have a diamond system, where you have a good bit of freight travel there. And then the third item would be the house track, which is a side track that will be built next to the station to make sure that the Amtrak train gets off the main line as fast as possible and stays on that house track overnight.
It's like a parking lot kind of for somebody who's this where you park the train.
That's right. Because if you think about it, the passenger rail is only going to run in a 12-hour window. Freight runs in a 24.
Yeah.
And so once in the evening, we don't want to block anything. So the train will be on the house track while freight continues to operate all night.
Okay, so, and switching means what? Well,
right now, literally, it is a manual switch where you have a metal lever and somebody has to go out there and switch the tracks over.
So this train can go on that track versus that track,
right? It's going to make freight much faster. It's going to make it much safer. And it's really just an improvement that needs to be done anyway. And so we're going to include that as part of the things we're going to pay for, which is what we've been saying from the beginning.
Okay, so freight would need to do that anyway, even if it wasn't passenger.
They would. And so that's when you look at most of the improvements along this line, they're going to benefit freight just as much as they're going to benefit passenger rail.
Okay. So now here we get, there's the cake. Now we get to ice it and put the decorations on, because everybody is very interested in the location of a train station for Mobile for passenger rail, and that would be where?
Well, we'll start with the legacy site. So technically, if we wanted to rebuild the station in downtown Mobile where the previous one was located prior to Hurricane Katrina, legally we could do that because the previous line, the Sunset Limited, that is simply suspended. It's not they didn't discontinue it. And because of that, anywhere where there was a station, you can build a new station without any kind of interference. Well, that was our original plan, but after speaking with the administration, after speaking with county commissioners, the Port of Mobile, and freight operators, we said, look, it sounds like that y'all don't really want it there, so let's compromise and put it mm-hmm. in Brookley Field.
Okay.
And that's when we contacted the airport authority. And they said, yes, this is something that we can work with and we're interested in. So so as of right now, the station is going to be at Brookley Field.
And will it be part of the airport thing? Will it be
intermodal connectivity?
I'll quit with the intermodal. Is it going to share a wall with them?
We don't know.
Okay,
that's to be determined. So the Airport Authority's master plan, another plan, mm-hmm. Is being studied right now, and that will be published in, we think, June of this year, which will coincide with the study that we're doing coming out about the same time. So we'll have the exact proposed location by this summer.
Okay, so the people that would be coming and going to New Orleans or coming to Gulfport or coming in from they would come into Brookley and then go. So conceivably, I'm looking at it for connectivity with an airport. That's a big deal. I mean, somebody could park one place and come in and just would they be close enough to walk over to the airport or like carry the bags or?
Oh, no question about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
if
that's
not a quick shuttle bus ride or, I mean, we're hoping it's within a matter of, you know, less than 100 yards if possible.
Okay.
Because we would like to share things potentially like restrooms and restaurants and parking and things like that. I mean, there's no reason not to.
Yeah.
So that is the plan.
Yeah. The economy of scale for the things you got to have.
Right. Right.
You know, you go in there and you have all that stuff out front and then, you know, these folks can go to the airport and these people can go get on the train.
And we're hoping quite a few people take the train to the airport. We're hoping the people in Pascagoula, maybe mm-hmm. Biloxi, will come to Mobile for the downtown airport.
That's part of the conversation we get back. We'll talk more about this. You got questions, 343-0106. We'll get them asked. Plus, we're going to be talking about some Mardi Gras in the mix. And somehow, I will figure out how to mix trains and Mardi Gras together. We're working on that. Coming right back.
I'm a no-no, I'm a no-no.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
120 FM Talk 106.5 and the phone number, the text line, they are the same at 343-0106. They're intermodal. They're 343-0106 works for both telephoning and texting, all right, to get you through the show. Talking to Dr. Steve McNair and talking a little bit, we're going to continue a little train talk here, but we also will shift gears and talk some Mardi Gras flag. And you have seen his artistic rendering of Mobile's Mardi Gras symbol, most famously, at least recently, on top of the universe's largest Mardi Gras tree. Y'all, once again, if somebody wants to challenge me that that tree is not the universe's largest Mardi Gras tree, come at me. Come at me. All right, let's go to the phones. And Tara in Mobile is first up. Hey, Tara.
Hey, listen, I am looking forward to seeing the candles lit on this cake, I'll tell you, for both personally and politically. But I do have a question that you may not be able to answer there. Thank you for being so patient, you and Dr. McNair, for thoroughly explaining things to us out here. Okay, the $3 million is the train. There's not going to be a train. The $3 million is not going to be due until there is a train running, right?
That's exactly right. And so that is only going to come out of the coffers of the city of Mobile if the train ever runs. And even then, it's also paid in the rears. And so right now, the prediction is the train will run in 2022. So the first payment in that will actually not be due until 2023 if it runs.
Okay, but my real question here is, because we've had a similar situation with let's say a sports field here. We don't need another sports field fiasco type thing. Who owns the land? And how much is this going to cost, and who's going to pay for it? I mean, because that's, you can't run a train if you don't have a station to run it to, right?
Yes, ma'am. And so what we're looking at right now is where the location of that station will be, and it will be determined if the land is owned by the Mobile Airport Authority, the City of Mobile, or a private entity. And once that's identified, the City of Mobile will not be required to pay for that station or the infrastructure improvements. That was really one of the caveats that the Southern Rail Commission made with the City Council. If they funded the operations, then we would find different partners for the remainder. And also, just to curb any fears, the way that the Department of Transportation grant is written, it's not possible for the City of Mobile to be on the hook further than for the $3 million unless they volunteer to do so. It's not something where somebody could come back later and require that they pay for something else, which is one of the reasons that they liked the resolution the way it was written. But we continue to be in conversations with all members of the Mobile County Commission and also the Governor's Office in terms of identifying funding for the station and for the infrastructure.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. I'll leave the line open at 343-0106. And Paul in Mobile is up next. You're on with Dr. Stephen McNair.
Thank you, Steve and Sean. I'm concerned about time. Pascagoula, Biloxi, Gulfport are so close together, the train will never get up to full speed. You got four stops in Mississippi. That's an hour of extra time. What's going to happen is you're going to spend 8 hours on the train and 4 hours in New Orleans, and I'll never ride the train again.
Okay, well, let's see. You want to respond to that?
I would. So there's a lot of misinformation about how long this train is going to stop at the different stations in Mississippi and how long it's going to take to get there. So to be very clear, it is going to be competitive with drive time. And so right now, Mobile to New Orleans nonstop is about 2 hours and 15 minutes. We predict this train will probably be anywhere from 2.5 hours to 2 hours and 45 minutes, because the station stops in Mississippi, while you are correct, there's going to be at least three or four, those station stops are going to be 5 minutes. The train will pull in. If you have a ticket, you hop on. If not, the train keeps going. And so that is going to make sure that it remains on time and efficient, and also make sure that it gets to New Orleans as fast as possible to get out of the way of the freight traffic. So it will be competitive with drive time.
Terrific.
There you go.
Keep up the good work.
All right, good deal. Appreciate the call. That's why it's good, because a lot of people have heard this, that, or the other. This is new. So you're talking about the real information. And also, if people have questions about this, You know, how do they, I mean, they may not want to call in, or they haven't texted, or they're riding down the road and think, if they got questions about this, who do they talk to? How do call Southern Rail Commission? What do you do?
Absolutely. So if you just Google Southern Rail Commission, we have a website where you can get in touch with us. You can see all the reports, all the studies, rail stops. I mean, every bit of information is public. And so we really go out of our way to make sure that our meeting minutes, everything is on our website. And that's the Southern Rail Commission. And to go back to one more thing about speed, you know, that is a valid question of how fast is this train going to go? How fast can it go? We've looked at the studies that CSX has done on their own line, and they predict that this train can go as high as 79 miles an hour, which is about the average speed for a passenger train.
Mm-hmm.
So between the stops...
This is not the bullet train kind of stuff.
It is not, but it's also not a 10,000-foot coal train.
Right.
And so
pushing 80 miles an hour, you're moving.
And that's what we're saying here. If you look at the line, it doesn't follow I-10. It's closer to Highway 90, which cuts off some time as well. And so it's going to stop for about 5 minutes at every stop and then get on it to New Orleans as fast as possible.
And timeline on this, I know there's a lot of things that have to happen. That's what we're talking about, the infrastructure work. So we're waiting. Okay, I'm famous for asking what's next. So the next thing is the work on these switches you're talking about and all that work on the tracks?
That's right. So we're predicting that work will remain in the study when it comes out. And so when the Norfolk Southern CSX Amtrak study is published in about 6 months, there's going to be a lot of negotiation following that between those three entities to iron things out, which is very common nationwide.
Okay.
But we predict that those three elements will remain as part of the infrastructure that will be need to identify. And then also when it comes to the station, you know, legally for this train to run, we don't need a two-story station with its own restaurant and things like that legally. Sure, we'd like to have that if the money is there.
But you could just have a place, right?
All we need is a platform with wheelchair access to make this run. So the minimum is there. Of course, we'd rather have more than the minimum.
Sure, but I like the idea if you could build something that was, you know, minimalistic like that, and then as you go, wow, this is really coming together. Okay, let's add phase two, let's add phase three.
Absolutely, because the more advertising that we get as far as advertising on the train and at the station, the more people that come to Brookley Field for the airport, this is only going to become more popular. I'm already getting phone calls from people wondering about packages for Saints games and going over there on the weekends.
Yeah.
But I'm also getting a lot of phone calls from my friends in New Orleans saying, this is going to be great. I can now come home without having to drive. And so let's not forget, this is a two-way street. This is not simply for the benefit of Mobilians going to New Orleans for the weekend. A lot of people from Biloxi and Pascagoula, who maybe they don't want to go to New Orleans. Maybe they prefer Mobile. Now they can take their family over here for the day or for the weekend and spend their money in Alabama.
Well, I said this last time you're here, and I'll triple down on this. If your idea is that we can't compete with New Orleans, so don't have a train because you've got to keep people from going to New Orleans, that is about as dunderheaded as I've ever heard. I mean, here's how we're going to compete. We're going to keep people from going there because they can get in cars now, if y'all didn't realize, and go to New Orleans. So, you know.
We completely agree. There's a lot to be proud of in Mobile.
Keep everybody forced here. All right. Tim in Mobile is up next. You're on with Dr. McNair.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I was just wanting to comment. I've got a 91-year-old mom that wants to ride the train, and we missed the last time it was making this run. So we're looking forward to jumping on it for one trip, see what it's all about. Now, are you promoting the scenic view also? You mentioned the track that it takes. Will you be seeing some water and some of the nice things you'll see versus the time? Everybody seems to be hung up on how fast can I get there and get home, but I'm thinking of also a trip, taking my wife to New Orleans for the day or the weekend or one night or whatever, and having an Uber ride home, a.k.a. train, where I can ride at home and get home safely. So there's a lot to promote, you know, I guess, in the ride itself. And security, I guess that was my last question. How will the train be secured as far as, you know, making sure we're all safe there and back? I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, man.
Well, I'll start with security. So Amtrak is going to be the operator for this train, and so they do their own internal security. So that's going to be handled really at the national level. But in terms of the scenic view, I'm really glad you brought that up. That's not a question I get often, but having taken this train when it was running before and having, you know, studied this line, it is a great... it is a great view. I mean, once you hit Bay St. Louis, you're right on the water. You're going over the bridges. But the my favorite part is between Slidell and New Orleans. When you're going over the Pontchartrain and you can't even see the tracks below you, it's like you're gliding over the water.
That is cool. I am somebody that likes to like stare out the windows and look at stuff, because I'm always driving, so it's a nice treat. Like if somebody else is driving for a reason or has a, I like to look around.
It's a great view. Yeah, it's very scenic.
Are there any plans to combine the Greyhound bus station with the Amtrak station, like in New Orleans?
I have not been involved in any conversations regarding that. Not to say that it won't happen. I mean, if we're talking about intermodal connectivity, that would make sense to have that conversation. But the Greyhound company has not approached us.
Okay, because there's another one. Are there any plans to move Megabus from the GM&O building downtown to the new train station?
And that's something really I would assume the Mobile Airport Authority would take the lead on. So when their study comes out, we'll see if that's something they want to talk about.
All right. This is the cliffhanger, y'all, because I just got this text in from Camera Guy on the text line. What's the cost? But hold up. We'll let you know when we come back. More of this conversation, and we'll talk to you at 343-0106. And yes, we're getting into Mardi Gras, the Mobile Mardi Gras symbol, the flag, the tree topper on the universe's largest Mardi Gras tree. We continue this discussion when we come back right here on the Day Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5. This segment of the show brought to you by Stamps.com. Okay, postage rates have now gone up again, and thankfully Stamps.com eases the pain with big discounts off post office retail rates. With Stamps.com, you save 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off shipping rates. That kind of savings really adds up, especially for a small business just like this one. You know, and also, the time you spend going to get the stamps at the post office, that's time you're not doing whatever that thing is that makes your company money. I get it. Plus, Stamps.com is completely online, which saves you time. So no more of those trips to the post office. Actually, all the services of the U.S. Postal Service will be there on your computer with Stamps.com. So whether you're a small office sending invoices, an online seller shipping out products, or even a warehouse sending thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. It's a no-brainer. Saves you time, saves you money, and it's no wonder over 700,000 small businesses already use Stamps.com. And right now, y'all can get a special interest rate or a special offer here that includes a 4-week trial plus your free postage and your digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to Stamps.com, and when you're there, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in my first name, Sean. Spelled the fast way, S-E-A-N, Sean. It's Stamps.com. Just make sure to enter code Sean. All right, continue our conversation. We're talking trains, but we are going to get to the Mardi Gras stuff here in a second. I know that Stephen was coming in to talk Mardi Gras, and I said, but we got to talk more trains.
Happy to do it.
All right, so I will go to the phones here, plus the text line. And let me get a quick one here. Bill asked this as we were, I'm not sorry, Camera Guy asked this as we went to break. How much cost?
To be determined. So that's being looked at right now as well. We think it's going
to... I saw some ranges, right?
That's the thing. It's probably going to be somewhere between $30 and $40 per person, okay, one way for a full ticket price. But when I say full ticket, I mean all the way to New Orleans. Now, it's going to be tiered. It's going to have a different system where if you want to go to Pascagoula or Biloxi, it'll be half that.
Okay.
So the further you go, the more expensive it is. And that really is nationwide pretty standard. So we're studying other lines similar to this across the country to find a comparable ticket price.
Okay. Skip asks, is there any way an express without stops from Mobile to New Orleans runs maybe once a week?
That is not in the works right now. I'm not saying that it can't happen, but that is not something that that is being looked at now. When it comes to timetables and blocking with the freight lines, that would be a little more complicated.
Okay.
Now, with the addition of the side tracks in Mississippi and the house tracks in New Orleans and Mobile, that may be possible, but that would be a little more complicated.
All right. Bill says, if this is Amtrak, will there be incentive pay to the carriers, particularly CSX?
There always is. CSX owns about 95% of this line. Norfolk Southern owns about the last mile or two coming into the port of New Orleans, into the downtown portion of New Orleans. And so that's standard nationwide.
You're paying to be on their their tracks.
That's right. So to be very clear, Norfolk Southern and CSX own these lines.
See, I didn't even think about that.
But nationwide, I mean, there's been several Supreme Court cases deciding this after 1970, which essentially said that passenger rail can use those lines and sometimes even receive preference, but it's not free. So absolutely, I'm not privy to what the amount will be or how that's going to be worked out.
But they're going to get paid.
That's right.
All right. Sandra is in Mobile and up next. Hey, Sandra.
Hi. I wanted to ask a question. I want to get board this train in Mobile and go to Orlando, Florida.
That is not going to be possible for the foreseeable future. I've seen some master plan studies, and I have heard some people say that the conversations, you know, with Florida maybe will start up in a few years. But you know, the previous line went all the way to Jacksonville, and so that was the line that was studied for a year and a half. Now, in terms of Orlando, yeah, I really don't know if that's in the cards for the foreseeable future. I really don't know enough about the tracks and who owns them and what condition they're in to get to Orlando. Now, I can tell you that the Bright Line from Miami is going to go to Orlando. Right now, you know, it goes up the eastern edge of Florida and goes up to just north of Miami right now. But the plan is to take that all the way in.
But the idea of leaving from here and going east, that is not part of this plan right now.
Not part of this plan, no.
All right, Sandra, does that help you?
Well, yeah, it does. And I was really looking forward. My husband and I are in our 70s. I have never ridden a train, and I was looking forward to it.
Well, you got to ride. Yeah, you need to ride a train. We figure out. Okay, here we go. Because Steve McNair is here from Southern Rail Commission. So where would you recommend for she and her husband to go ride a train? Where's the best, closest thing?
Well, it depends on where you're going to start. I mean, the great thing about this starting in Mobile now is that once you get to New Orleans, you can head west, you can head north, you can head east. And so,
but in the meantime, where would she would go to New Orleans, I guess, would be the closest place to get on a Amtrak train?
She could, and probably the most scenic route will be heading up through the Carolinas, through the state of Virginia, especially if you can go this time of year. I mean, it is a nice line, but anywhere south of D.C., but really north of Anniston, I think is an incredibly interesting and enjoyable ride.
Great. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, Sandra. Appreciate the call. Yeah, you know, you mentioned that going to New Orleans and connecting through. That's one of my, you know, as I look at the two purposes, it's the day in and day out stuff that makes this probably feasible, right? Is the Mobile to New Orleans, New Orleans to Mobile, Gulfport to Mobile, Gulfport to New Orleans, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, there's part of it, and the romantic part of it is I would like, I've said this before, I've had this kind of dream thing. I load the family up here in Mobile, and we end up taking the train through going out west and going, you know, seeing the country.
Sure. And that's something that when you think about the hundreds of stops along the way that now are connected or will be connected to our city, if somebody's in Los Angeles, they can get to downtown Mobile from a train. If they're in Chicago, they can get here. If they're in New York City, they can get here. And anywhere in between. And that is just so special, where that's not something that a majority of people are going to take advantage of, but there are going to be some. And just having that connectivity where now at least you can say you can get to Mobile.
Yeah,
using a train from really anywhere in the country.
No, I do. I like this. And maybe, you know, maybe it's just something that's going to take a long time to get everybody lined up. But the idea of going and getting on the train and going and, I mean, then if you get to L.A., I saw the line from there does the Grand Canyon and goes by the Grand. I like all that stuff. I like it all. All right, Fireball is in Mobile up next. Hey, Fireball.
Hey, guys, y'all doing? Y'all got me wanting to ride the train. You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Hey, several years ago, I'm going to say 20, my mother and father-in-law and my wife's aunt and uncle took Amtrak all the way to North Dakota.
Wow, out of New Orleans or where?
Yeah, out of New Orleans. They had a brother or have a brother lived up there that lives up there, and they thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, back in the 30s, 20s and 30s, that was a way to get around the United States by train.
For sure.
But we don't get to do that anymore. I'm looking forward to it. Tell you the truth, I am. Y'all doing a fine job.
Thank you, Fireball. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I think there's that other component. That's what I'm saying. There's a business component, because this is running during the week, right? That people are going to be doing this so they can work on their way to their meeting and all that kind of stuff and come back and sleep in their own bed that night. There's the fun component of it. And there's, yeah, there's the big fun with people that I would like to just experience riding the train.
Well, that's the great thing about this is it, for a lot of people, it's nostalgia. For some people, it's romance. And for some people, it's about doing business in 2020. And so when you combine all of those together, that's why the economics of this work, and that's why it's such a feasible project, because not everybody has the leisure time that some do. While maybe other people don't have business in New Orleans or Biloxi or anywhere right. during the week. But when you combine the millions of people that live in the greater coastal area, greater New Orleans, greater Mississippi, greater Mobile Baldwin, mm-hmm. we're talking about a lot of folks here. And if just a fraction of those folks take this train every day, every week, then we're going to well surpass the projections.
And that's something to think about, too. We're back to the 3 million, that if it is not needed, it's up to 3 million pledged. But if it's not needed because the there are enough people going and they're buying enough food and drink and all that stuff, it doesn't all have to be spent.
That's exactly right. So if the projections exceed the early numbers and we actually get more ridership, we get more food and beverage sales, we actually weren't even factored into the original numbers.
Huh.
And also advertising wasn't factored in. And so you and I both know a lot of businesses along this route that would pay very good money to have a captured audience there looking at their ads for 2 hours.
That's for sure. This is great. So my buddy Ben gave me a transition. Thank you, Ben. You're now an honorary producer of the show. He said, would it be possible for residents of New Orleans to take in a Mardi Gras parade in their city and then take the train to the home of the original Mardi Gras in Mobile, Alabama, in the same day? That's brilliant. What a brilliant transition, because we've talked trains, but I do want to talk some Mardi Gras with you. And the design that people see, the design of for Mobile's Mardi Gras, this is, people have now, y'all have seen it on flags, you've seen it on the universe's largest Mardi Gras tree is a tree topper. This man right here designed this.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. So it was a team effort for sure. This project started in 2017, and we'll just kind of start at the beginning, which okay. is, you know, after growing up in Mobile and, of course, being involved with Mardi Gras, watching parades in Oakley for many years, mm-hmm. and then living in New Orleans, having gone to grad school in Tulane and experienced Mardi Gras there. After having moved back, it became very clear that we lacked a certain unified, cohesive branding of the celebration that we like to tell everybody that we invented.
Right.
I mean,
there's really been no symbol for Mobile's Mardi Gras.
No, and by law, as part of the state constitution, if you're a Mobilian and you meet someone new, you have to tell them we founded Mardi Gras in the first 40 seconds of the conversation. And then if they say, where can I buy a t-shirt, we couldn't even do it.
That's right.
And so that's where all of this started, is having just something that... that was not divisive either. We didn't want this to be, because Mardi Gras groups can have their own way of doing things, and, mm-hmm. and we didn't want this to be a representative of one gender or one race or one group or
right. Or this is all of us.
This is everybody, and that's the great thing about it, and that's why it only focuses on the official Mobile colors, no green, and it doesn't have a certain symbol maybe from one particular group, no matter how iconic it is.
Right.
We focus simply on the city of Mobile with the M and carnival in general. Hence the jester masks.
Yeah, and it kind of split with the M. Yeah, so that's the
tragedy and comedy.
That's right. So when y'all see this, the symbol, you decided, okay, we need to do this. What, you sit down and put a pen to paper. How do you go about doing something like this?
This was workshops with members of many carnival association organizations, MAMGA, city officials. Really, it was a process of working through what would represent everybody and what wouldn't. And so after about a year of workshopping this, dealing with a local advertising firm, Mighty Advertising, actually, they put the pen to paper. We came up with this and presented it to a lot of officials. And this year, the Mobile County Commission made it official. They voted on it. So that's why you'll notice today it is flying in front of City Hall. You'll cool. notice it's on the top of the official tree for the city, and something that we're very proud of, and something that I think is really catching on to show not only civic pride, but also pride in the celebration that we loudly tell the world we invented.
So if somebody has seen this, whether they see the flag today or saw the tree topper or seen it around at people's house, how do they get these?
Yeah, they're for sale flags, in quite a yeah. few places. You can get them at mobtownmerch.com. You can get them at Toomey's. You can get them at Rock the Float, the Urban Emporium downtown on Dolphin Street, and quite a few Redbeard's Outfitters. They're really, I'm missing a few, I'm sure, because I'm just not aware of them, but there's quite a few places downtown. The Moon Pie Shop has them. And we really want everybody to sell them who wants to sell them. There's t-shirts and hats, and it's really just about that kind of branding and marketing for our entire community and county.
All right, this is good. We're going to talk more about this when we come back. Got some folks holding on the phone lines at 343-0106. We'll get right back to you, and let's do that next. How about that?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Okay, and we're going to get in. We've got flag questions, Mardi Gras questions, Amtrak questions. Coming in on the text line and the phone line. But I'm going to do this because I had a lot of people asking about what they can bring on. Dan had suggested how much beer you could have on the train. Others have asked about what foods they could bring with them, what foods would be served on the train. We talked about the food thing. So what's the story? The food that would be available on this passenger rail line.
So the Southern Rail Commission is going to be in charge of choosing those vendors. And as opposed to a long-distance train where if you do take the Amtrak from New Orleans to Washington, they have prescribed Amtrak food. A lot of it is...
it's like airplane food?
It best. It's really underwhelming. And so the Southern Rail Commission has the ability to use local vendors. And that's what we're going to do. So the beer provided will be local. Maybe New Orleans rum will be on there. If there's a particular king cake, if there's a particular sandwich place in Biloxi or Pascagoula, Mobile, we're going to try to keep every dollar local.
You said crawfish to me during the break.
Sure.
Is cool.
Keeping it local is the name of the game on this train, and keeping the advertising local, the vendors local, the dollars local.
I like that. So the food that you would get on there would be something either from us here in Mobile, or you'd find out about something. Oh, wow, this sandwich shop over there has...
Sure, we could have different... Cool. All the breweries along the way, and it's about the experience, and you can't expect a tourist to come here and experience the coast on this train without tasting and drinking the items that we provide.
That was something I had not even thought about. I guess I had pictured kind of like basic, you know, airplane food, but not on this. Good deal. Linda is in Mobile. You're on with Dr. McNair. Hey, Linda. Hello, Linda.
Hello?
Yeah, it's you.
Yes. Well, guess what? I've been on the bullet train, and I loved it, loved it, loved it. I am a train buff, and the lady that called about the train in Florida, you could go to Birmingham and take the Amtrak to New Orleans. I thought the food was reasonable. In March, I am going to Raleigh, North Carolina, where my daughter lives with two little granddaughters, and we're going to take the Amtrak to D.C. to Cherry Blossom. So that I love traveling, so I'm excited that Mobile's doing something for this Amtrak.
Good deal. Appreciate the call. See, I mean, folks are, I think there'll be a lot of learning as I've just, even though Sunset Limited was there, I never took it. You know, I mean, it's sad to say the only trains, I've taken train one time in the United States, rest of the time it's been, other than just like some commuter line stuff, very short commuter line in the Northeast, but I've taken one train here, and then in Europe we took trains, but I don't know a whole bunch. I don't have preconceived notions, but I'm excited about the idea of going for a train ride.
Sure.
I like it.
And to remind folks, this is twice daily. You know, this isn't going to come through the middle of the night like the old Crescent Line did. This is going to be twice a day, 7 days a week. So we'll probably leave Mobile somewhere around 8 in the morning, get over there around 10:30 or so. You can have some time, have a lunch, have a meeting, and then take the evening train back.
Okay, and Tim's asking this in Foley, and this is a good question because people picturing different kinds of he said, will there be a first class coach section? Can you sleep? Will there be dinner, et cetera?
No. That's really different. Just for long distance trains. This one,
because, but you could connect in New Orleans, get on a train that would do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So to be very clear, the train station that is in downtown New Orleans right now, that's two blocks from the Superdome, that is where this line will terminate.
Because somebody just asked, how far is the train station from the French Quarter?
There you go. So it's in the Central Business District, so it's a mile, half mile, something like that. So if you wanted to hop on a long-distance train after taking this, you would already be at the station.
There you go. I want to talk a little bit more, just mixing stuff up, which I like, is normal, talking about the flags and the symbol here, the Mobile Mardi Gras symbol, and you talked about the places that sell this, but where's the money go on this?
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up. The whole point of this, not only to have kind of a cohesive branding and something to be proud of for the whole community for Mardi Gras, is to create revenue to promote Mardi Gras. And so right now, all the proceeds to date have really gone back into promoting local Mardi Gras, and that includes buying lots of flags for government buildings or government officials. It's handing out beads. I mean, the other night we handed out 10 dozen free beads with the logo on it at the lighting of the tree to promote the city. We're going to put up banners this week saying welcome to Mardi Gras on Water Street. And so the goal is, right now, this venture really isn't making much money. The goal is for one day for it to do so, and then we can start putting up billboards in Pascagoula saying, don't go west, come east. Mm-hmm. Or putting ads on the train, or putting ads in Pensacola.
So when we buy one of these flags, have them flying from our house to show our pride, Mobile Mardi Gras pride, we're also putting money into let more people know about our Mardi Gras pride.
It's a give back, feel good kind of program where we just want more people to know that Mardi Gras is accessible, that it's here, that it's fun, that everybody can enjoy it. You don't have to be invited to a ball. You can just come down here and stay in a hotel, spend some money, go to a parade, and act like a local.
Yes, depends on what local you want to act like, and if whether you're going to ride a scooter there around the parade route. A governed scooter. If y'all didn't hear this morning, we have an in-depth discussion. Go back and listen to the podcast of what happens to the Gotcha scooter when you get near a parade route on a parade day. They get slowed down to a walking pace. So, which I think there would be a lot of people. It's just like try to stand up still on a bicycle. I think there's going to be people tump over. I'm just saying. Not fast. They won't get hurt, but they'll get really embarrassed because they'll be there. Whole other story. All right. So, once again, those is there a place to go online to look? I mean, if somebody didn't catch your list of places to have the flag?
Mobtown Merch, to my knowledge, is the only place you can order them online. That's mobtownmerch.com. And then locally, Toomey's, Rock the Float, Redbeard's Outfitters, the Moon Pie Store, quite a few other places around. A lot of the gift shops downtown. But they're certainly becoming more popular, and we're proud to see that.
I'm excited. If y'all here, I got mine. But so this will be going up in front of the Sullivan House today, so we'll be flying the flag. Lots of different train question here too. Will, let's see who this is. A named texter. Y'all give yourselves, once again, seriously, give yourself a nickname, or give me your first name or something. It helps me. You know, I like to talk to y'all like by name. But this unnamed texter says, train question, will Mobile see any economic benefit from this train?
Of course we will. That was really our selling point with the city council, and that the $3 million that they're going to put into this, the city and the county will make well more than that in lodging taxes and sales tax. In fact, there was an economic impact study that was developed by the University of Southern Mississippi in conjunction with the University of South Alabama. And that study said if 1% of new travelers come to Mobile, or new tourists come to Mobile via this train, then they're economic impact of what they buy and where they stay will more than pay for this train.
All right. Maybe have time for one more here. Shelton is in Seminole, and you're on with Dr. Steve McNair.
Hi, Dr. Steve. My question is, is there a morning trip from New Orleans to Mobile, and then vice versa?
There is. So just as I said, the train will leave locally heading west sometime around 8 in the morning. That has not been decided yet. The exact same thing will be happening in New Orleans. And so it's two trains a day that are going to be crisscrossing each other. So if you're in Louisiana and need to get to Mobile for maybe a late morning meeting or lunch or an early afternoon meeting, then you can take that same timetable train in this direction.
Killer.
It's the first time I've heard somebody use the term killer referring to a train. I like that. I like that a lot. Well, once again, this is something that we're going through the steps now of an important step, you think, last week with the vote of the Mobile City Council.
Yeah, that was really the turning point here, because now that's given us the confidence to move forward. And it's really shown the Mobile County Commission and the governor's office that there is skin in the game at the local level, that people believe in this project. And so that really enables us now to go back to those two entities and ask for additional funding for the station and for infrastructure. And we were thrilled to see the press release from the governor's office, and that, you know, we knew that she was supportive of this, but her coming out and saying that she's been following this and supportive all along was encouraging.
It is indeed. All right, we'll have to have you back on the show soon to talk more Mardi Gras and more trains.
Happy to do it. Thank you.
All right. We're on the way out of here. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. Talk to y'all tomorrow morning at 6 for Mobile Mornings.